The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, great. So, hello and welcome again. A warm welcome to Happy Hour to all of you. So for our practice together today, I thought it's appropriate as we are approaching the end of this very eventful, this very challenging year for so many people to practice compassion together. Compassion for so many beings, ourselves included, of course, who have gone through so much challenges this past year through the pandemic and continuing to go through challenges. Where I am in California in the U.S., the hospitals are overwhelmed right now, and it's a pretty challenging situation right now. And I personally know people and have family who are in the hospital. So as we all know, or if we don't know, I'll share that as practitioners, the practice of compassion feels like a giving to others. And yet it's also a practice of receiving. It's really a practice of receiving. When we do the practice of compassion, our heart feels more filled out with care. We feel more resilient ourselves in this sense of connection. And I was actually listening to an interesting podcast last week, and I'll put the link in the chat later, but just to say what it was, it's part of what's called Freakonomics Radio on NPR, and the theme was the compassion crisis, and specifically to refer to the compassion crisis in healthcare. In the U.S., where many doctors, many nurses, not really being taught, not really being supported in compassionate practice, how there is a sense of burnout. Both their compassion gets burnt out, and also they feel burnt out. And these two researchers, both clinicians, doctors, as well as researchers, they really unearthed lots of research that has been done on compassionate care, on compassion, or what is termed as patient-centered or patient-centric practices that really show how not only patients feel better when there is, and they're actually not just feel better, but there's really outcome. There's clinical outcome that's measured for patients that when the practitioner is expressing compassion, that the outcomes are actually improve. Not only that, but actually what's called helpers high, again, in this literature, helpers high, which we know of as practitioners. The helpers high is when a clinician is more compassionate, they feel better. They feel better themselves. They have less burnout, less depression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and they feel better about their work. So, and so these researchers wrote this book called Compassionomics. The economics of compassion, which again, knowing the healthcare system, et cetera, needing to have numbers, really showing how outcomes are better when there is heart, which of course you go, duh, yes, of course, we know this as human beings. And yet It's interesting, I think, for me also as a scientist to consider that yes, of course there is data, and I'm delighted and grateful that there are people who are looking at the data and bringing up the data to convince others who might think, oh, it takes too much time to be compassionate. Actually, it doesn't. It turns out it takes no more time to be compassionate. But anyway, so I'll yeah, and I know that at least one of you here at Happy Hour, one of you is an MD who works in the COVID ward right now, and I really honor, and you just messaged me, I appreciate that's one of your dreams, to bring more compassion into healthcare. And yes, there's definitely a lot more burnout right now, you say, with COVID. Yes, I appreciate you bringing that in from the inside, Megan, and just really appreciate your service and your aspiration to bring more compassion into healthcare. So with that, I wanted to invite us into the practice of compassion tonight, to cultivate it in our heart, and whether or not we are in a caregiving profession, professionally, we're all in a caregiving profession. We're all human beings. We all have people we care about. We all have people who are in distress, maybe not with COVID, but different challenges in life. So practicing compassion, supporting them, supporting ourselves, supporting this connection, this human connection that we have. So and I see another question about the HH Google group, which I'll refer, come back to later, Ben. Okay. So I'd like to invite us now to get into our meditation posture. Landing in the body. Becoming present in this moment. Letting go of any thoughts and preoccupations in this moment, just to take refuge in the body and the breath, to settle, to arrive. Feeling our feet, our legs connected to the earth. Feeling the contact points. Intimately. Landing into the contact points. Letting our weight settle to our feet, our legs, our sit bones, our bottom on the cushion. Inviting our abdomen to relax, inviting the chest to soften, and the neck and shoulders drop their weight And offer up any tension they've been holding. Inviting the face to relax, the muscles to let go from the inside, the forehead to feel expanded, stretched, the eyes to rest. Rest in their socket. The jaw muscles, facial muscles from the inside. Around the cheeks, the mouth, the chin, the ears, the head. To let go, to relax from the inside. Inviting the whole body to settle, to relax. Put down tightness and tension. And receiving in a soft, relaxed body, receiving the breath. Letting the breath be received. In the abdomen, it's not so much that we breathe, the breath breathes itself. Just receiving, being aware that it's happening. And if thoughts arise, preoccupations, it's okay. No need for any judgment. Giving a lot of space, holding the thoughts and patterns. A lot of space, space of awareness. They don't have to be the center of the whole show. Letting the breath feel expansive, the space feel expansive, the body expansive. And thoughts just settling, falling maybe like leaves on the trees in the fall. Just dropping to the earth and settling. Body relaxed, breath being received, one breath at a time, a moment of silence and refuge, just to settle, to be nourished. Receiving the breath, letting the breath be received in the abdomen and also in the chest, in your whole trunk. if you wish, imagining as if the breath is entering through the middle of the chest, through the heart center, proverbial heart center. This life-giving breath, this gift entering through the heart center. In the center of your chest. Receiving this gift. Appreciatively, tenderly. Feeling more awakened, feeling more alive, your heart feeling more present. And alive, enlivened in this moment. Through each breath being received. And breathed out. Heart feeling more expansive. And if your heart contained a holy fire, feeling the fire enlivened. When it's blown upon, when it has the breath blowing on it, becoming more vibrant. This holy fire of compassion in your heart. Feeling bright, calming yet powerful, as it's blown upon by each breath. The light of this fire shining. Its warmth shining brightly. There's nothing you have to do. It's just there. It's not your doing. You're just witnessing, observing. The breath is being breathed. enlivening, feeding this holy fire of compassion that wasn't being noticed in your heart, but it's there. It's definitely there. We all have it. Just observing, witnessing, beholding. That's all the doing that you do. Witnessing, appreciating. This fire of heart's compassion. And now I'd like to invite you to bring to mind and imagine as if the suffering in the world, suffering of those whom you know, whom you care about dearly, and those you don't know, and your own suffering. Imagine it perhaps as a cloud, or a fog, or smoke that gets breathed in naturally, gets breathed into this heart center, this holy fire, and it gets transformed with each out-breath that's breathed out. The suffering has been transformed into well wishes, well being, goodness, into light. And is breathed out onto the world, onto the people that you care about, people you don't know who are suffering in this moment. And maybe even yourself, if you are suffering in this moment. Just witnessing that this is happening. Suffering, pain, sorrow, breathed in on its own, transformed in this holy fire, bright burning fire of your heart. This powerful incinerator gets transformed into healing, into goodness, into peace, into love. And with the out-breath, gets breathed out, bringing solace. Bringing solace and ease. Unto others, unto the world. You're holding witness to suffering being taken away, transformed, healing and goodness. Covering, radiating to those who are suffering right now. bringing them to your mind's eye. If it helps the vividness of this practice for you. Just witnessing, not making it effortful. Yes, this is your practice, and yet it's not yours. It's so much bigger than you. You are participating in the co-creation. Witnessing your part. In your heart, in your own goodness and compassion. As part of a bigger whole. Suffering breathed in, transformed, the holy fire. Peace and solace breathed out. Seeing that the out-breath brings comfort and ease to those who are suffering. Offering our goodness, our compassion, our holy fire. To the goodness, to benefit of all beings, dedicating our goodness to healing, comfort, peace, and ease of all beings. Our dedication, our contribution, offering up our heart's goodness, cultivation of our heart's goodness. May all beings everywhere be at ease. Be safe. Be happy. Be healthy. And take care of themselves happily. thank you all for your practice. Just to say a word or two about this practice. As many of you might have recognized this practice, it's the practice of Tonglen. That's often practiced in Tibetan Buddhism, which is just as we practiced it. It's imagining compassion being breathed in, being transformed in the heart. Suffering being breathed in, being transformed in the heart, and ease, goodness being breathed out onto the world. And it can be a very powerful practice. It can at first also be a challenging practice. So if it was challenging for you, it's okay. Hang in there. And it can, when it really ignites in a way, and just using a lot of fire metaphor tonight, it can be such a powerful practice, because there's a sense of you, whoever you are not doing this. It's not, when it's forceful, it's like, I'm breathing, I'm bringing healing, I, there can be so much ego in it. Whereas it's a sense of containing this holy fire, this beauty of the heart, and seeing the suffering being breathed in, transformed, being breathed out. Ah, yes. And so most of the seeing or imagining is there, and seeing the people who are suffering being soothed. It's not so much a doing, but really witnessing. And it can feel so powerful. It can feel so transformative, as if with every breath, it can feel like, oh, with every breath, there's a cultivation of goodness. There's a bringing of peace and ease. And it fits into other dimensions of holding presence, into dimensions of just with your breath, just with your presence, bringing succor, bringing healing to others. So when we really feel into this practice, we can actually also practice one-on-one with others who are suffering. Say loved ones who are suffering, or say on their deathbed. And just breathing and holding space, trusting that with a sense of breath, there's a sense of peace and ease and cultivation. There's so much about this practice that, again, can feel challenging and then can be just beautiful and really ignite into many different dimensions of meaning and soulfulness. So, I have a couple of minutes for reflections, if you'd like to share them in chat or raise your hand. And I'd like to invite folks who usually don't talk, share first, to share, please. So, Ben, please.
Yeah. Thanks, Nikki. I always tonight I felt like the Tonglen was really more accessible to me than it usually is, because it's usually prefaced when people offer it, especially, you know, to quote unquote beginners. They're like, I'm not sure you're ready for this. It involves actually breathing in suffering, and you might not be mentally stable enough to deal. And I kind of appreciate that warning. I'm going to say this, like, and because I feel like there's so much being in the way they were framing, there's so much being asked of me to, you know, or someone who wants to practice Tonglen. When I do feel resourced enough to like really take something on, I don't want to go looking for trouble when I'm feeling good. So I really appreciate the way that you framed it as being a witnessing rather than a doing. Actually, during the sit, the way that I saw it was not necessarily that like the world is doing it and I'm just watching, but it was more like, wait a minute, I'm already doing so much work in my life that already is having the effect of transforming bad stuff into good stuff. I just sort of, I just sort of sort of tuned into that. I was like, it's already happening. The fire is already happening. It was really nice. So thank you, Nikki.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ben, for saying that and really highlighting it, different ways that this practice can be taught. And I have witnessed and been taught that other way that you're doing it, and it's you. And I found that challenging too, for both for many people. And I think this way of, oh, you know, there's a heart, and there's a heart, and this transformation is happening, and this idea of witnessing can also feel like a co-creation, the participation. You're participating in the witnessing, of course, you know, so you're part of it. It's not like it's happening. So there's a sense of co-creation of compassion, and yet it's not all up to you, which is kind of similar to, say, the bodhisattva vow, when people take on the vow I vow to liberate or work to liberate and help awaken every single being. It's like, wow, every single being and little me, right? So in the same way, like the suffering of the whole world, what, I'm going to breathe into my heart? Are you kidding me? Like, that's so overwhelming. So, but the idea here and both this practice and that bodhisattva is that we're tapping into something that's bigger than us. It's not just this little being who's going to take it all on. It's we are part of, and as I say this, actually, I feel chills as I say this. This being, this conscious being that is me, is part of something so much bigger inherently. I'm connected. I am something bigger than I can name. So this taps into that. So thank you so much for bringing that, Ben. Yeah. So let's get into groups before time flies, gets short. So the practice, the invitation, for tonight, for the small breakout groups is just either sitting in silence, holding witness for each other in this way of breathing and breathing in and breathing out, or sharing, speaking, supporting each other, supporting yourself, whatever is needed. So I'm creating the rooms. Here they go. Okay, I'm going to open the rooms now. Here we go. When you're practicing our meditation, there is no such a thing as awkward silence. It's just silence. Silence is fine. We're comfortable being in silence. And your reflections are valued, so please. Clark.
This isn't really a deep reflection, but, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. But I really like Tonglen because I find visualization helps me a lot. Just works with whatever my brain configuration is. And it's always kind of crazy because I will just start visualizing, like you say, the smoke getting burnt by the fire and emitting light. And then different visions will just offer themselves. So like different people that I know who are suffering, and then it becomes their specific suffering, and different groups who are suffering, it becomes their suffering, or just the general idea of suffering. And tonight I was imagining at one point, like a group of people, and then I felt myself like this golden Buddha statue that was just blowing out this light. It kind of like maybe Beauty and the Beast, some Disney movie where there's like this light that washes over and everybody goes from being angry to like, ah, oh, like transforms. It was just a fun image, so I thought I'd share that.
That's lovely. That is just lovely. Thanks for sharing that, Clark. It brings a smile to my face. And also what I'm loving about the image that came up for you, was evoked for you, is actually both, you know, you talk about the fun nature of it. Yes, which is great. I think we always have to have fun with this practice. We take it way too seriously. If it's not fun, it just becomes kind of boring. But besides the fun factor, I love the image that came up for you as this golden big Buddha. That's you, you know, it's both you and not you. It's your inner Buddha. It's this being as a Buddha, having this large golden Buddha. So it just, that's what a beautiful embracing of the capacity of this heart. So lovely. Thank you for bringing that in. Great. So, yeah. So it's 7:02 and I'll bring the evening to a close. I'll just say one quick thing. Earlier, Ben had asked about a clarification of how public the Google group is. And just to say that it is only for people who are part of the Happy Hour Sangha at this time. So, and Ben, if you have more questions, please stay. And I'm just going to stay a couple of extra minutes after I formally close if anybody has questions about anything. And are we meeting tomorrow? Yes, we are. You are meeting tomorrow. Diana will be here doing happy hour. Yay. And just to say, after that, so 7 p.m. California time, happy hour ends, 7:30 p.m. California time. And there's another event at IMC, which celebrates the New Year's Eve, whatever time zone you're in, but which I trust will be a lovely event. And Tanya Weiser, a dear, dear being, is going to be teaching that. So if you wanted to join for that, information is on the IMC calendar. It should be fun and lovely. So yes, Happy New Year to everyone. So I will bring this session to a close by thanking all of you for your practice. And given that this is the last session of the year of this 2020 that I'm teaching, there's a sense of sweetness. I mean, there's going to be more sessions in 2021, maybe. Well, who knows what's happening tomorrow, whether we all wake up or not. But anyway, if it all goes according to quote unquote plan, if I'm not hit by a truck, I'll see you in 2021. But gratitude for many months of sharing this beautiful practice together. May all of our practice together, the goodness that's generated, the merit, be a cause and condition for beauty, grace, awakening, ease, love in the world for all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free, including ourselves. Thank you, everyone. And now I'm going to ask you, if you wish, you can all unmute yourself if you want to say goodbye and Happy New Year, whatever you like to say. Here you go. You can unmute yourself and I'll stay on a couple of minutes. Here you go.
Is there a happy Thank hour you. Friday Good night? Year.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And yes, there is Happy Hour Friday night, January 1st. I'll see you on January 1st.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Nikki, for everything.
Thank you all. Happy New Year.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Have a great night, guys.
Bye.
Take care.
Really,
bye.
Really Nikki, I would like to